Third hour at Aaron Donica Chase. Our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD, products curated for life. Hey, if you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Anaheim Ducks, that'll be at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, November 22nd. All you have to do is go to YouTube, subscribe to 102.5 The Game's YouTube page, and you'll automatically be entered for a chance to see the Preds take on the Ducks. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. Once you do that, you'll automatically be entered to win. A winner will be chosen on Monday, next Monday. That's November 15th. Chase. Vince is wrapping Hi. Things up with player interviews, and then he'll join us, and we'll talk about that 45-42 victory over Kentucky on Saturday night. And, I've seen that my whole life. So
you okay?
Nothing's changed.
You good?
Oh, I'm completely numb to that.
At least you didn't make a bet with Vince like Michelle and Robbie made a bet. Michelle had to wear a Tennessee shirt all morning, and she said it was very itchy and burnt a little.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, but a bet's a bet.
A bet is a bet.
Darren, it's so funny you say what you said, because I was watching the game with John Tackett, our television director for Valley Sports, a good man. And he is a fantastic television director. He is a Kentucky guy. And he's exactly like you. As that game was going, I was like, John, they can still come back. This is a great game. It's going back and forth. He goes, I just know what's going to happen.
Right.
We've
read the book. We know how it ends.
I was like, you can't have that attitude.
No, it's true.
And sure enough. True.
The time of possession was 46-14. Let me just repeat that. 46 minutes to 14 minutes. Actually, Tennessee, if you want to be technical, didn't even have it 14 minutes. It was 13:52. And they scored 45 points and won. Now you give me the Vanderbilt math on 46-14. What ratio is that? Time of possession. Percentage that you had the ball over the opponent.
Well, it's over 70%.
Yeah.
That's right. Pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Most of the time that gets it done, but
we
know what's at play here. And this is something we talked about, and it's perfect lead into Vince, because you knew there was going to be some games like this. And that was the question. In the SEC, could you run the Josh Heupel offense where this could happen? But if you're scoring at will, and you have defensive touchdowns, that's the combination that it happens. It was certainly effective.
Darren,
on
just
Saturday.
Remember, 60% of the time, it works
every time.
No, 60% of the time, it does not like Sex Panther for Kentucky football. Okay?
It's quite pungent.
And by the way, I did bet it wasn't, you know, to wear a shirt to the loser. I did bet a mutual friend of ours, and I lost. And you're familiar with that bet. I think, pretty sure you were on that text, I think. $20.
Yeah, I was on that text.
Yeah. Yeah. I jumped at it. It's like, you're on.
Then I believe you tried to cash out.
Well, no, I tried to do the same thing to him when he was like, you can cash out for $19 right now if you want, when Tennessee was up. And then when Kentucky came back and took the lead, 28-24, I said, you can cash out now for $19 if you want. We're having a little fun with that. So, all right, I think we've got Vince. Vince Ferrara is on the line with us at Vince Sports on Twitter. He's with WNML, the sports animal there in Knoxville. How do you explain time of possession, 46-14, and Tennessee scores 45 in the victory? I chalk it up to I've seen it my whole life, so nothing ever surprises me when it comes to this game.
Well, first off, I'm just glad you didn't try to segue from that scene from Anchorman directly to me. So I'm happy about that.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, we were going down a kind of a dangerous path, so it was good that we pivoted. We moved on.
We let it breathe a little bit there.
As terrific professionals that you are. So, to your excellent question, I think this is an indicator of Tennessee football this year under Josh Heupel and maybe Josh Heupel teams in his career. And it was just amplified. It was enhanced even more because Kentucky was more deliberate in what they were doing, and they were running the ball effectively until they started throwing effectively as well. So they were taking their time. Tennessee was able to hit those explosive plays, which have been of greater regularity as time has gone on. So, you know, and I think Tennessee's defense they've accumulated so many snaps. 101 against Ole Miss, 92 against Alabama, the 99 in this game in their last three games, and that is insanity.
Yeah, just say that again. Kentucky ran 99 plays on offense and lost.
Right. Sir, I mean, you mentioned the time of possession. Then there was the yard, 612 yards of offense.
And 35 lost.
35 first downs.
They converted 12 third downs and lost.
Yeah. Right.
Tennessee converted three.
And it was 12 of 13 first downs at one point.
Yes.
It ended up being 12 of 17 with those turnover on downs. Yeah. But I think this Tennessee has been last in time of possession in the league all season. I just think it played out to where everything was more enhanced to the situation. And look, here's what the crazy thing is. The difference in the game was the way Tennessee handled that end-of-half situation where they were aggressive. Kentucky, instead of punting, decided to go for it. Tennessee got a stop there. And then they had 35 yards in 16 seconds. And they were aggressive in doing that to try to get in the field goal range, as they converted into a field goal that ended up being the final margin of win for Tennessee. But even with 5 seconds to go, they tried to get a little bit closer. So I think that speaks to their confidence in what they can do and do it so quickly. And then, obviously, I think Tennessee made some better decisions in some of those fourth down and executed, even though both teams had stops. But I think this is the way Tennessee is this year. And I know for Kentucky, they did so much more than maybe they typically do. But to me, it was a little bit more about Tennessee than about Kentucky, because we've now seen this more and more this year.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I don't know if Kentucky had used up their entire playbook after play 95 on offense, and because I thought plays 96, 97, 98, 99 with the game on the line were horrific calls, play calls. Why were they trying to throw the ball 25 yards downfield on those plays? Like, I thought they were awful calls.
And Mark Stoops kind of admitted to that. You know, he said fair criticism when he was asked about that. They did, because there's some of those throws were there in the second half for him. I think they got tempted into it. Also, I think they ran the ball more with Will Levis, like every quarterback seems to do against Tennessee, because you can get those yards that are there. So I think that tempted them to get away from what had worked, in that situation that worked best for them. I also thought that they were stretching the clock a little bit to not give themselves a second chance should they not be able to convert. So, some fair things to criticize them there in that situation.
Who was doing the – I know, Vince, you were at the game at Kroger Field, so I'm not going to ask you, although you may know. Guys, who was doing – do you know who was doing the color for that game?
I do not.
Beth Moza, I know, was doing play-by-play.
Yes, I know that, but who was doing – who?
Maybe Kirk Morrison. I don't recall.
He struggled mightily down the stretch of that game. I didn't even understand what he was talking about at the end of the game. I don't think Beth did. I think she was thoroughly confused. Like, he was talking about, like, you can't give the ball back to Tennessee that quick. And she was like, yeah, but they're behind. I think he thought the game was I don't know what
tied,
he was thinking.
Right.
Yes, I think he thought the game was tied. Like, he was rambling on about you can't give the ball back to Tennessee too quick, and she's like, yeah, but you have to keep the drive alive. You're going to have to convert this.
But I see the argument, though, guys, because we've seen games where you kind of have this sense of they can't stop anybody. So ideally, And I see both sides of the argument because, like, ideally you do want to score on the last possession, but you can't, you know, have that mentality and screw up your drive. But we've seen some games where, like, oops, scored too quick. They're going to come back down because Tennessee, as Vince just pointed out, they were moving up the field so fast. Like, they didn't need a whole lot of time to score again. If they get the ball back, is there any way that Kentucky was stopping them? No way. So I see the argument. I don't know if I agree with it, but I see the argument.
And yes, it is close, but you know, it's not like Kentucky has this dominant offense that maybe you won't need a second chance. So I see a little bit of an argument in, hey, let's try to do what we can to get in the end zone. But then again, it was weird. They were slow playing the clock, but fast playing the play calling with passing. Had they been going with more urgency and throwing the ball, then it might have made more sense that, hey, they're just trying to give themselves maybe a 2-for-1 type of thing to give themselves a better chance to be more aggressive, just take the lead and worry about the clock afterwards. But the way they were milking the clock, you would think maybe some runs there at the end would have matched that kind of play calling. So, yeah, you could see it going both ways. But, I think, to me, it was Tennessee and their ability to make at least a play here and there. They got a couple of fourth down stops. They got the Alante Taylor pick six that was huge. It's still
huge.
A big topic of conversation. And he baited Levis. He even said today thinking when – he said, is this guy dumb? Because he baited him into it with his coverage and playing soft. They knew that they were going after Wandale Robinson, who they targeted 18 times. It's been a while since I've seen a wide receiver targeted that much. So, that and then the field goal, the way they handled the end of the half, to me that was the biggest difference, whether more so than a few of those instances we're talking about with the clock.
He was targeted 18 times. Wow. Hendon Hooker just continues to impress, man. I mean, you talk about efficiency, 15 of 20 for 316 yards and 4 touchdowns?
Yeah. He's the SEC Offensive Player of the Week. He was my pregame interview on the Vol Network. And, by the way, just terrific. I mean, really, he was relaxed in the setting when I got a chance to talk to him. Talked about how he talks football with his family, but then his mom was like texting him like, hey, make sure your eyes are right, you know, make sure your feet are right. And he's writing a scripture book for children, the ABCs of athletes for children. And he's coming out with some Hendo Cinco, his nickname, coming out with some merch in an NIL deal real soon. So this kid gets it. He's a flatliner in terms of his emotion on the field, but he is a leader. He encourages his guys. He talks to the defensive players. A number of them have talked about how he comes over and talks to them as well. You mentioned the efficiency. He has been among the nation's leaders in efficiency in the top 5 all season. Career high in touchdown passes with 4. Also career high in yards with 316. He's now 10th all-time single season for Tennessee in passing touchdowns in a season with 21, with still at least 3 to go and probably 4. So, I mean, just he has absolutely been – not only this team's by far MVP, but you have to start going back a ways to find a more important player that did so much and impacted so many others on his team in Tennessee history. You can start going back a ways to see one guy have so much load. I think Dobbs fell in that category. I think Hooker is a better passer than Dobbs. Dobbs did so much in terms of running and keeping plays alive. But even beyond that, the load that's on him and the way he's changed so much and fits this offense, it's been pretty special for Tennessee.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, 99.1, the Sports Animal in Knoxville. Now, Vince, did I read this right, that Georgia this weekend is homecoming? Did they mean to do that? Like, why would you not schedule South Alabama for homecoming?
That topic has come up. It's because of scheduling with the school and things like that. I don't think it was, hey, lightest opponent. Yeah, Georgia. Not really. No, I just think it's the date, the availability with all the other events that are tied with it. So I don't know that Georgia takes is going to, I'm sure the fans have noticed and they'll say something about it. I don't know that will be a motivating factor for Georgia, other than their fans, for sure.
I know when you put the pads on and you suit up, the goal is to win every week, but let's all be realistic. They're going against the best team in college football. So realistically, outside of keeping everybody healthy and all of that, what is the goal this weekend against Georgia?
Well, by the way, real quick, it was Kirk Morrison. I did find the notes from last week. So he was the analyst in that game. The goal is for them to compete and see what they can do. I mean, that's the approach they took with Alabama when a lot of us were thinking that they were going to sit a lot of players and try to rest up for the Kentucky game. They didn't take that approach. They played Hendon Hooker. They played Tyon Evans. So Cooper Mays came back. So I think that's what they're trying to do and then see where they're at after that. Now, you could look at it, Chase, as, man, that's kind of risky. I mean, who knows what you have left if you get too beat up on the other side for the two games that you should easily win. But I don't think this team has the kind of mindset to where, like, yeah, you know, let's just hope to keep it within the point spread or something like that. I think Tennessee is going to score the most points against Georgia that we've seen all year. And, you know, there's been bigger upsets than 21 points. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think Tennessee, with their tempo, is going to present Georgia some more difficulty. Obviously, Georgia, I think, is on a different level. And especially with the offensive line for Tennessee, that Cade Mays, offensive lineman of the week, his first game back, but they still had some struggles, and Hooker still sacked 5 times. Tennessee's going to have to involve him more in the run game by design if they're going to help that offensive line some. They didn't do it a ton against Kentucky either. That's 3 straight games where it's only been Hooker scrambles more so than Hooker design runs. We'll see if that changes this week, but man, with that front for Georgia, it's hard to see how Tennessee can get a ton going. But Georgia stems a lot at the line. They do a lot of movement. And I think Tennessee can get them out of position from time to time, catching them in movement, because they haven't seen any tempo like Tennessee. And Tennessee has the ability for those explosive plays as well. And then maybe you see how Georgia handles a close game, which they have not had since the Clemson game this year. I asked Jerome Carbon about that today, and he's like, yeah, you know, we've kind of talked about that. So I think that's the hope, to compete and then see what happens. And maybe if you lose still, you build some confidence for the next couple of games.
As after the win against Kentucky and looking at, you know, bowl projections and where they are, how much are Tennessee fans saying, you know, the classic of, well, you know, we're close to Pittsburgh and should have had that one, and close to Ole Miss, should have had that one, when they're talking about the big picture overall?
Oh, it's definitely happening, for sure. You think those are the two games that you point to, and the biggest thing that you say is Hendon Hooker and Hendon Hooker healthy. How does that Ole Miss game finish with a healthy Hendon Hooker? How does the Pitt game play out with Hendon Hooker? Those are fair questions. I think they probably win the Pitt game. And then who knows with the Ole Miss game, because it was just so hectic there. It came down to basically, you know, a couple of plays at the end. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they would have been different. But I think at least one more win. And then, you know, Tennessee is in a completely different position. If they win that game, then this Georgia game has a little bit different meaning for Tennessee if they're sitting there with one loss. So, absolutely fans have thought that. But look, it's happened before. You know, under Butch Jones, what if Butch Jones had actually gone for it instead of kicked a field goal at the 1-yard line against Oklahoma? What if they, don't just kick an extra point and go for 2 in the fourth quarter, try to get up 14 against Florida on the road? And then end up losing that game by one. So there have been those what-ifs in Tennessee football history recently plenty of times. And, yeah, this year is another one, even though there's not the maybe negativity towards the coaching staff, which oftentimes does happen, you know, with those what-if scenarios and questions that are out there.
Real quick, Vince, basketball gets going here tomorrow. High expectations. We know in the shuffling with all the players changing teams, going pro, not going pro, it's hard to keep track of everybody. But tell me where you think Tennessee is as they lift off with high expectations.
Well, they're still a work in progress in terms of what they're ultimately going to look like. I think this is a top 10, top 15 type of team. There's still some guys that are pretty raw, a lot of new guys, guys that are raw but then have some of the skill set that last year's team didn't have and needed, like front court offensive game and face-up game. Brandon Huntley Hatfield can bring you that. And then their point guard play with Kennedy Chandler led the team in scoring in the exhibition game. And I mean, he is so dynamic, being able to snake through the defense and avoid contact and finish. And just the ability to and willingness to drive into the lane and create for teammates, and his passing, bounce pass through traffic. He is going to be so much fun to watch for Tennessee fans. And I think this Tennessee team, with their depth and all the newcomers that I think still are going to shape into form and improve as the year goes on, this will be a really fun team and I think one of the top couple teams in the SEC before the year is up, with all the competition they have, and then a special player in freshman Kennedy Chandler.
Wes, thanks a lot for joining us. Excellent stuff, as always. Did I say Wes?
Yeah, I was like, did you just say Wes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wes Durham?
Wesley Walker, the Jets growing up. I don't know. I'll get my wires crossed. Vince, I know you have the great speed like Wesley Walker did back in the day. Man, you talk about crossing some wires.
I've been called much worse.
Vince, good stuff as always. I don't know where my head is. It's been a long road trip. I've changed time zones a bunch of times here in the last week,
yeah.
So forgive me. So, Vince, we'll talk to you next week. Great stuff.
Always enjoy it. Thanks, guys.
All right. If I can now follow instructions and get people's names right, including my own, I think I'm supposed to do lead company here. Is that correct?
Yeah, your name is Willie.
Yes. Man. Case of the Mondays, got coffee all over the shirt, had mask problems, Darren, on the broadcast last night. We got issues.
And
man,
I'm the one that flew in at 5:30 in the morning.
I know. Well, I got in late last night, but no excuses. Didn't get it done.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Hey, Wes, you've got a live to do.
Yes, I do. Wes Donick here for Lee Company, 615-567-1000. Hey, Lee Company does a great job for us, and we have the home maintenance plan that our house have for a long time, and it's a good thing because certainly you can tell I can't keep it straight half the time, and they do that stuff for you. When you're on the home maintenance plan, they help your house run properly at Lee Company because they have the home maintenance plan for you. They check your heating, your cooling, your plumbing, and electric when you get down to it. They'll call you. They'll set it up when it's convenient for you. They'll come in and check and make sure everything's running properly. And when the repairs need to get done, first of all, they'll catch them before they get serious and it's a crisis situation, and you'll get discounts on those repairs. It's a sound way to save money over the long term. It's Lee Company, 615-567-1000. They're a proud sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you.